I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's February 9th, and we have a lot to talk about. I want to tell you about an interesting experience I had this past week. For the first time, I had to block someone on Twitter. After I had posted a tweet about the MS Society's COVID-19 vaccine guidance for people living with MS, someone responded saying that it was crazy to trust an experimental vaccine and that the vaccine carried the risk of causing a fairly devastating outcome for people. To point out the obvious, more than 20 million people have already received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccines, and 4 million people have already received both doses. And if there were any devastating outcomes occurring across the country, I'm fairly confident we would have heard about them. But putting that aside for a moment, I should tell you that I'm from the school of thought that says if one person writes it, there are probably 100 people who believe the same thing. So I felt compelled to respond to this person on Twitter. I pointed out three things. First, that messenger RNA technology, that's the delivery system that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are based on, that's what they were referring to as being quote-unquote experimental. Well, that technology has been studied for the past few years. Now, the COVID-19 vaccines are brand new, but while mRNA technology is cutting edge, it's been the focus of biomedical research for a while. I also pointed out that the clinical trials for both of these vaccines involved more than 43,000 participants. These were not insignificant clinical trials. And finally, I pointed out that the specific outcome the person was warning against was in fact impossible, given the specific attributes of COVID-19, of the virus itself. This person had their facts wrong, and I recommended that they refer to the published science. Well, judging from their responses, and there were multiple responses, this other individual seemed to grow more and more excited or agitated during our brief back and forth exchange. And I didn't end up blocking them because we disagreed. I blocked them because they were spreading false facts, and I didn't want made-up science influencing any other people. Arguing against false facts imputes a certain credibility to them. You know, like there's two sides to every story. And there are plenty of stories that have two or even more sides to them. But evidence-based scientific fact rarely works that way. And that's why it's so important, especially when you're out on the interwebs, that you're getting your information from trusted, credible, reliable sources. We can have as many conversations as you'd like about matters of opinion, but we shouldn't spend a lot of time arguing over whether the sun rises in the east, because it does, and that's a fact. While we're talking about the MS Society's COVID-19 vaccine guidance, my guest today is Dr. Jaime Imitola. Dr. Imitola is a director of the Division of Multiple Sclerosis and Translational Neuroimmunology at UConn Health. He's a noted expert in his field, and he's a member of the task force that the MS Society convened to create the COVID-19 vaccine guidance. We'll be talking about the new updates to this vaccine guidance. Dr. Imitola will be answering some of the questions that you've sent my way, and we'll get into how this task force went about creating this very important guidance for people living with MS. But before we get to my conversation with Dr. Jaime Imitola, there are a few other things that you should know about. This past week, the National MS Society added to their COVID-19 vaccine guidance for people living with MS. The group of experts that was tasked with creating the vaccine guidance has published recommendations for timing MS medications with the two COVID-19 vaccines that have been approved for use in the U.S., and that's the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. The detailed recommendations for timing your disease-modifying therapy cover every FDA-approved DMT available. So if you're on a disease-modifying therapy and you've been wondering about your DMT and the COVID-19 vaccine, you'll definitely want to review this new guidance. You'll find a link to the new recommendations regarding the COVID-19 vaccine and disease-modifying therapies in today's show notes. And if you've downloaded the free RealTalk MS app for your iOS or Android phone or tablet, just check the bonus content tab in the app, and you'll find your own copy of these recommendations from the MS Society. And if you haven't yet downloaded the RealTalk MS app, I hope you do. You'll not only have every episode of RealTalk MS automatically downloaded and waiting for you, you'll not only have the ability to save the episodes that you find particularly important to you, but it's a way that I can share bonus content with you. So I hope you'll take a moment to visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free RealTalk MS app. Last week, the FDA gave its approval to not a new disease-modifying therapy, but a new way to administer an existing disease-modifying therapy when it approved administering Plegridy by intramuscular injection. Plegridy itself was actually approved as a disease-modifying therapy for relapsing forms of MS in 2014 after clinical trials showed that it significantly reduced MS relapses, disability progression, and brain lesions. At the time, the drug was approved to be administered by subcutaneous injection. The goal of administering Plegridy by intramuscular injection is to reduce injection site reactions associated with the subcutaneous injection of the drug. So if you're already on Plegridy by subcutaneous injection by using the pen, and you've been suffering from injection site reactions, you'll want to talk with your neurologist about changing up the method of injection without having to change up your DMT. If you wake up and discover a new MS symptom or see that your existing symptoms may have progressed, you might get in touch with your neurologist or MS specialist to see what can be done in the way of symptom management. And sometimes, a more serious escalation of your symptoms might even land you in the hospital. But imagine for a moment a world in which your MS specialist contacts you and suggests that you come in because you were on a path leading to disease progression or symptom exacerbation, and they wanted to propose treatment to head that off. In other words, a world where you received predictive care instead of reactive care. That's the goal of a bold undertaking called Brain Teaser. Brain Teaser is short for Bringing Artificial Intelligence Home for a Better Care of ALS and Multiple Sclerosis, and it represents a first-of-its-kind collaborative approach between IT specialists, healthcare providers, academia, and 300 people living with ALS or MS in Europe. The program involves using artificial intelligence to analyze data from wearable sensors and apps that will aid clinical specialists in predicting, detecting, and managing the factors that contribute to disease progression. The 300 program participants will be recruited from 4 clinical centers in Italy, Spain, and Portugal. And the goal of Brain Teaser is to promote patient empowerment and self-management by providing patients with coaching tools that will give them the knowledge, insights, and understanding to really become active participants in their own care. At the same time, the program holds the promise and potential of changing the treatment paradigm for MS and ALS and bringing us a giant step closer to truly personalized care. Brain Teaser is a 4-year program that's being funded by the European Union's Horizon 2020 initiative. The project consortium is being led by the Universidad Politécnica de Madrid, and the program was launched just a few weeks ago. We, along with the rest of the world, will be watching. When MS is studied by researchers, it's typically viewed as a disease involving the brain and the immune system. But researchers at Gladstone Institutes, led by Dr. Katrina Okazoglu, have demonstrated that vascular biology is a necessary third component to more fully understanding MS and other neurological diseases. In 2019, Dr. Okazoglu received the National MS Society's Barancic Prize for Innovation in MS Research by showing that a blood clotting agent called fibrinogen actually activates the autoimmune response and the neurodegeneration that follows in MS. Now, Dr. Okazoglu is leading a team of scientists at Gladstone Institutes in UC San Francisco in launching the Gladstone UCSF Center for Neurovascular Brain Immunology. And this new research center is going to integrate the study of vascular biology, immunology, and neuroscience to study MS and other neurological diseases in a new way and, in doing so, develop novel treatments. This three-pronged approach to understanding and potentially treating vascular abnormalities in the brain has the potential to take biomedical research in a brand new direction. When I see announcements like this one, I think of them as opening a new front in the war against MS. And as any expert on warfare will tell you, opening new fronts typically shortens the time it takes to win that war. So the launch of the Gladstone UCSF Center for Neurovascular Brain Immunology is very good news. Another important piece of good news comes to us from the expert task force convened by the National MS Society to develop the COVID-19 vaccine guidance for people living with MS. Last week, the task force published its recommendations for timing MS medications with the two COVID-19 vaccines that have been approved for use in the U.S. In a moment, we'll meet my guest, Dr. Jaime Imitola, and we'll talk with Dr. Imitola about these latest recommendations, as well as how the task force went about the work of creating their vaccine guidance. I'm very pleased to be joined today by the director of the Division of Multiple Sclerosis and Translational Neuroimmunology at UConn Health, Dr. Jaime Imitola. Dr. Imitola is a board-certified neurologist with clinical expertise in aggressive and progressive multiple sclerosis, late-onset multiple sclerosis, and neuromyelitis optica spectrum disorder. And Dr. Imitola brings to today's conversation over 20 years of experience focused on progressive MS, along with expertise in the design, execution, and oversight of translational research trials for multiple sclerosis and spasticity. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Imitola.
Thank you for the kind invitation.
In introducing you, I should also mention that you're a member of the National MS Society's Vaccine Advisory Group, an expert task force that the Society convened to develop the COVID-19 vaccine guidance for people living with MS. And even though we've talked about this before on the podcast, the questions keep coming. So I'd like to dive back into what people living with MS should know about these two vaccines that are currently approved for use in the U.S., and that's the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. Dr. Imitola, some people who are living with MS have questions about how your group arrived at this vaccine guidance. So can you talk a little bit about some of the expertise that was represented in your group, the information you used to develop the initial guidance, and what information you're continuing to pay attention to?
Yeah, this is a great question. And again, thank you for the invitation. And the MS Society convened a group of 12 experts, neurologists, immunologists, and virologists to get together, analyze the current clinical trials with the vaccines, and also information of how patients with MS respond to vaccinations, especially patients with that are getting disease-modifying therapies or the medication for MS. So over the last probably several weeks, we have been gathering and discussing the subject. So the representation is very, very important. We have people from different, we have people from Canada. We have people that see pediatric patients, although these vaccines are not being covered for that at this moment. We have people with, they're very deep into B-cell biology. And we have folks that see patients with diverse background, African-Americans, Latinos, and others. So we have a great representation. And what we continue paying attention is the evolution of both the vaccines that are being presented to the FDA for emergency use authorization, as well as the evolution of the pandemic. You know, we have these new variants that are coming in, and we are paying attention. So this is an ongoing analysis of the task force, and we are still addressing several questions. In the beginning was about a general statement. Now the second installment is about the timing of DMT, and in the future we're going to be more granular recommendations for MS doctors that sometimes are dealing with these questions.
So this guidance is something that continues to evolve as new treatments are on the horizon, as more is learned about the vaccines themselves. Is that right?
Yes. And you know, when we started to work in the task force, we were thinking that there is a limited amount of time, but as things are popping up, I mean, I think that this is going to be a very long engagement trying to help patients, because there are many different questions that are arising in our patients and our populations, and also in our doctors. So, I mean, I'm very humble and privileged to be part of this team, and we will continue until there is no need for this.
We've stressed this a number of times since the MS Society announced the vaccine guidance, but I think it's so important that it's worth repeating. Are the two currently available COVID-19 vaccines recommended for people living with MS?
Yes, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are safe for people with MS, and they are safe to use with the DMTs or MS medications.
Can either of these vaccines cause an MS relapse?
No. And you know, the data, that, as I said, we have to be cautious, but I think that we're very confident. And this confidence arises from the data that we have accumulated. There are thousands of people with MS that are being vaccinated, so we have some preliminary data. And we don't think that there's going to be a relapse. What can happen, and this is something that is very frequent in patients that are getting vaccinated, is depending on the vaccine and depending on the dosage, patients may feel headaches or achiness, sometimes a mild fever that actually lasts around 24 hours. And that happens to me when I get the second vaccine, but it lasted for 18 hours and then disappeared. So the anticipation is that if you have MS and you may have this rare side effect of the vaccine, then you might feel, you know, under the weather a little bit, but this is limited. It's not like the typical relapse. So we don't consider that as a relapse.
One of your areas of expertise is progressive MS, and many people living with progressive MS are already dealing with multiple symptoms and compromised health. Should they receive the COVID-19 vaccine?
Yes, and by the way, the MS Society also have gathered information in a very important work. It's called the COVID-MS Registry. And from that work, there is a registry that is actually a retrospective. We learn a great deal about who is at risk for COVID. And it is clear that people with disability, people with progressive MS, you know, African-Americans, Latinos, they had an increased risk of hospitalizations due to COVID. And if you get hospitalized, it's because, A, you have, severe presentation of the disease, and we want to avoid that. So patients with progressive MS should get the vaccine, of course.
At the top of the podcast, I mentioned that the National MS Society just released specific recommendations on how to optimize the effectiveness of the vaccines with each of the disease-modifying therapies. Can you tell us about these new recommendations?
Yes, and the recommendations are very granular and very detailed, some of which are in the website of the MS Society. But in general, let me put it this way. There are medications for MS where we don't have, there is no any contraindication, any issue with timing. These are the majority of medications. So for instance, if your MS is stable and you are in medications like Avonex, Copaxone, and Tecfidera, even Tysabri, please do not delay starting your vaccine injections. If you're already taking one of those DMTs, there is no adjustment on the administrations for these particular medications. When we get to different kinds of medications like Gilenya or Entrada or Ocrelizumab, there are suggestions and of the timing. Having said that, there is also important just to say here that at the end of the day, the risk of COVID-19, since we are in a pandemic, this is an emergency. When we think that when patients are offered the medications, getting the vaccine when it becomes available to the patient, perhaps is more important than the optimal timing of the vaccine with your medication. So it's important to say that because we don't want to delay vaccinations to patients. And sometimes, depending on the state, depending on the regulations, perhaps patients may not be getting the vaccine immediately. If they say no, that perhaps there will be a change. So we don't want this to happen. Now, if you have any of the other medications, especially the B-cell depletion medications, then there are two circumstances. One is whether you're going to start one of those medications, and then what is the recommendation? The recommendation is if you're about to start these medications, rituximab or ocrelizumab, please consider the vaccine so that the second vaccine injection, so you know that there are two vaccine injections, the second one is 4 weeks or more prior to starting the medication ocrelizumab or rituximab. If you already take Ocrevus or rituximab, please consider getting the vaccine 12 weeks or more after the last dosage of this DMT. And there are other recommendations for Lentrada or Mavenclad. The timing is going to be around 12 weeks, but perhaps 12 weeks to 24 weeks. But again, one of the things that I always tell patients is that, you know, find out whether or not and when are you going to be eligible, and then start the discussion with your MS provider, refer to the guidelines from the MS Society, and see whether there is a shared decision process between your doctor and yourself about what is advisable to do. Remember, these are very personal decisions, and for the doctor, it's also a decision that have to take into account the kind of MS, your risk, and your preference. So it's not there is no size fits all for these recommendations.
Just a reminder for everyone who has downloaded the free RealTalk MS app for their iOS or Android phone or tablet. If you check the bonus content tab in the app, you'll find your own copy of these detailed disease-modifying therapy recommendations from the MS Society. Dr. Imatola, today we have two COVID-19 vaccines approved for use in the United States. Approval is pending for a third vaccine, and there will be others. Will your group be updating this vaccine guidance as additional vaccines gain FDA approval?
Yes, and that's part of the job that is in front of us. Since the current vaccines are these two, Pfizer and Moderna, I mean, that's what the urgency to get these recommendations out was. And as soon as we have a authorization by the FDA with the other vaccinations, we will update any further recommendations.
Dr. Jaime Imitola, thank you for all that you do, all that you continue to do to improve the lives of people living with MS. Thank you for your efforts as a member of the MS Society's task force to provide expert guidance for people living with MS when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccines. And thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you very much for your invitation. If I may, I want to make a last point, and that is the we now know there is a lot of people that are very hesitant to get the vaccine. And one of the very shocking development is that perhaps the people that are more hesitant are the people with more risk. So there are two points that needs to be considered. One, for our friends and patients and families of African Americans, Latinos, people with poor access to healthcare, with progressive disease. This is an important thing to do. That's number one. Number two, yes, despite you get vaccinated, we need to still continue using masks and all the measures that are being suggested by the CDC and social distancing. One particular area that I would like to emphasize is people that live in multi-generational houses, I mean, where there is, you know, grandfathers and kids and adults. I mean, the likelihood of a spread, intrafamilial spread, is very high when you get these multi-generational families. There are good studies now coming out of New York and the Bronx about the more crowded is your house, the risk of getting COVID-19 is higher. So we just want to tell folks to be very, very, very careful and be mindful about all these recommendations. We want to get back to some level of normality. And the most important thing to do is get vaccinated. Hopefully, as soon as the vaccines, people are more vaccinated, the numbers are going to go down drastically. One example is the work that is done has been done in Israel right now. We can appreciate from the preliminary data. I mean, Israel is a place where a lot of people are getting vaccinated. It's a small country. And the data that is coming out suggests that mass vaccination is actually effective and in changing the number of infections. So I hope that your listeners actually take these words and actually get in line to get the shot.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/180. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. Walk MS 2021 is coming, and this year, Walk MS will meet you where you are to connect, celebrate, and make a difference like never before. I'll be walking, and I hope you're planning to join me. You can learn more and register at the National MS Society's website, and I'll include a link to the Walk MS information in today's show notes. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.